This is Desiree Scales, and this is the High Velocity Show. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great, Desiree.
Yeah?
It's a beautiful day. Summer's approaching. I got a tennis match today, so can't beat it. So.
Oh, very good. I didn't know you played tennis.
I do, religiously, so.
I do as well. Awesome. Well, you know, good day to play, and the temperatures are getting cooler here in Atlanta. I think fall is on the way.
I'm looking forward to it. Fall's my favorite time. I save on the power bill, so.
Well, I don't know if you know this. This is a perfect segue. Fall is conference time in Atlanta.
It is.
Yep. So there's a lot of great conferences coming up, including one that starts this coming weekend on September 14th, running through the 16th. It's called the Social Shakeup. And we are going to be, at that conference. I'm going to be heading a workshop starting on Sunday called Lifecycle Marketing. We're going to have a couple guests here from the conference. We've got Brent Leary. He's going to be in the house here. He just kind of walked in. He's going to join us. We've got Robin. She is with us, and she's the brain behind the Social Shakeup, Robin Carey. She's with Social Media Today. And Robin, are you there?
I'm here. Happy to be here. I wanted to know if you guys saw the U.S. Open finals last night.
Oh, my God. They were amazing.
Nadal. And I did not see it, unfortunately.
Djokovic. I can't believe he lost, but Nadal played great. So.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of
great
people.
Great match. But I don't know about you guys. I played a little tennis, too. And whenever I watch, I have this feeling that, you know, I just go out on the court and play exactly like those guys.
I like to imagine I can.
Yeah.
So.
And then you're going, why didn't I get that shot? Oh, dang.
Yeah, exactly.
My legs are 45 years old. That's why. But thank you for being with us today, Robin. And, you know, we want to talk about social media today and the social shakeup. And, you know, tell us a little bit about how this all came to life.
Oh, well, great question. It's very much this sort of organic extension of the site and really the online community known as Social Media Today that's been around since 2006. You know, we came out not long after Facebook launched and
wow.
YouTube and about the same time as LinkedIn. So we're actually one of the oldest places to go for anything about social media. And in fact, we were recently named one of the top 10 sites along with, you know, a lot bigger sites like Mashable and the Wall Street Journal, one of the top 10 sites for digital marketers. So the conference is really not only an extension of who we are as a brand and who reads our stuff and connects with us and on our site and through all of our channels, but it's also kind of a way to push forward our view of social. And our view of social is very specific, that it's not just about marketing. But what it represents, along with mobile and the cloud, is an enormous transformation of the way that we do business. So it was important to us to do this event, which, frankly, I've been resisting for a long time because I know what an enormous amount of work they are.
It is.
But it was important, finally, for us to do this event to kind of solidify our purpose with our own contributors and with many of the people who make up our community.
Okay. Well, you know, and on the site, and basically you can go to socialmediatoday.com and find out more about the conference. But, you know, here we are in Atlanta, and this is one of the premier social media conferences. I think this is unlike any other that I've seen. I think conferences really, you know, talk about social media 101 and how to tweet or, you know, what a Facebook post is. We're beyond that, aren't we?
Oh, totally. And I think you'll find that in the panels and in the keynotes. We're taking this really to the next level. We're talking about social and its implications for how we connect better with customers. We're going to be talking about how social is changing the ways that the C-suite views all of their strategic activities. We're talking about the importance of social for content marketing, which is a huge theme right now, but not just content marketing, what it means in terms of journalism as a whole and storytelling. We're going to be looking at big data, which is an enormous factor now in how marketers and anyone who's involved in the operations of the company are looking at their services and their products. So, yeah, we're totally beyond how to, you know, get Facebook likes. In fact, I think that's so 2 years ago. We're really looking at issues that are far more strategic. And we're also doing something different with this in that we're focusing heavily on the brands. And that was why we picked Atlanta for this conference, because not only is it a great town for social, it's also has as many great brands in one place as you can find anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the front page and some of the brands represented. We've got, you know, Dell, MasterCard, Home Depot, UPS, of course, our hometown favorite, the Weather Channel, Coke. So it's very exciting that they're all going to be there and talking about social media and just taking it to a whole new level. So that's good. So, you know, let's talk about your audience for this particular conference. Who is the right audience? Who should be there?
Well, certainly anyone who's involved with social at an enterprise. We in a way have seen, because we've been around so long, I've seen our audience for Social Media Day historically go from being junior-level people in advertising or marketing, you know, the person who was hired to handle Twitter, to becoming people who are at a director and a vice presidential level, and in some cases CMOs. I mean, it's gone up through their organizations or heads of customer service. I've seen them as they've progressed, literally, in the last 7 years. And so, in a sense, our audience is not only been very involved with social, but now is also very involved with a growing list of purchase decisions. So whether that's customer relationships management or social media management services or even, sort of unique technologies that help measurement and monitoring and understanding of social and big data. I mean, our audience are increasingly responsible for large segments of what their companies do. And it's a very global audience. I mean, we rank higher, socialmediaday.com ranks higher in the UK and Australia than we do in the United States, for example. We've a very global audience, and we have a lot of people who are passionate about us elsewhere. So I guess we should do this in London, too. I don't know.
Well, we'll be putting this out on the internet, and truly anybody worldwide will be able to hear it. That's the beauty of internet radio. I love that. Do we have people flying in from, other countries? Do you know the demographic? Any other people making? I know there's people flying in from different places within the U.S., but have you heard of any other countries coming in to be here?
Well, we have a number of clients in Germany who
Great.
Are coming in.
Great.
We work with Siemens and Siemens Healthcare,
right?
And they're going to be coming in. We have a couple of great blogger contributors who are coming in from London.
Oh, wonderful.
Those are the ones I know about. I did see someone recently sign up who has an Australian email address. So
wow.
That could be coming in from Australia as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I've always said Atlanta truly is becoming the social media capital of the East Coast. And we've got somebody in the studio with us today who knows that, Brent Leary. I've known Brent for a long time. Brent is all about CRM, and his company is CRM Essentials. And welcome, Brent. Glad you could join us. I know you're speaking at the event as well.
It's like role reversal, because the last time you and I were in the studio, you were coming to be a guest on my radio
show. I know.
Show.
You're the one who started this,
so
right?
Turnabout is fair play, I think, right?
That's right, Brent. God, I forgot about that.
Thanks for having me, though. This is great.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're here. So how are things going with you?
Well, Robin just got me hopping because this event is a week away, and I think I'm involved in about 30 sessions. So it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to this. I'm glad that she brought it to Atlanta. I'm glad that the other place that they were thinking about taking it, it fell through.
Oh.
And Atlanta just came up to the forefront, so I'm glad it's here.
We stepped up in Atlanta, right?
We always, or is it Rise Up?
Yeah, that's right, Rise Up. You got it. Woo.
I always wanted Go Atlanta.
Go Falcons.
Brent, I always wanted you.
Yeah. Well, we better keep it to the event, though, so. That was a joke. That was a joke. No, it was great because I do an event called Social Biz Atlanta. I've done it for 2 years, and it's the early part of the year, and Robin has been involved both times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that swung it for Atlanta was the pre-event dinner at Mary Mac's Tea Room.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, she loves Mary Mac's.
Yes, awesome.
I know. I tend to go vegan for a week before I go to dinner.
Yeah, we do not allow vegan activity, during Social Biz Atlanta at Mary Mac. So you,
that's right.
So you better get the vegan out of the way for this week, because next week it's going to be a grits, fried chicken, and all sorts of stuff.
That's right. We love our fried food down in the South. So, Brent, tell us about your session and everything that you're doing with the conference.
So I believe I have three sessions. One is going to be a conversation that I'm going to have with Kwanzaa Hall on millennials and,
right,
how to engage millennials, how to really understand them and be able, from his perspective, to represent them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his district, he's got Georgia Tech, he's got Georgia State, so he's got a lot of young folks that are a part of his district. And he's known for being one of the kind of innovators when it comes to politicians using social media.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to have a really interesting conversation about how he got involved, mm-hmm, with politics, how social media kind of played a role, and really the role it's playing with him being able to really connect with the millennials out there and understand their needs and to be able to represent those needs. So that's one thing.
Okay.
Part two
yeah,
is so I've been working with Robin in social media today. It's hard to believe that this is going to be the fourth year that we're putting out something we call the Social Customer Engagement Index.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a study of professionals from small companies all the way up to large enterprises. And we've been doing it for 4 years, and our whole idea was around trying to understand how these companies are leveraging social, mobile, cloud technologies to really engage the customer from a support perspective. So
right,
we know how important social media is to marketing and promotional and branding, but it's incredibly important and growing in importance when it comes to customer support and customer, mm-hmm, experience. So we started the report, I believe it was 2010.
Yeah.
And we had a whopping 118 people take the survey. So we just closed off.
Hello.
We just closed off the survey a few weeks ago.
Right.
Over 1,200 people.
All right.
So we've come a long way, and we've got a lot more data. And we're going to give people a little taste of it at that session.
I was going to say, so how did that shape, right now? Did that shape the conference for you, that data?
Well, data always shapes things for,
right,
me, and so I'm really glad that we were able to get some of those results before the actual event.
Right, exactly.
So this panel that we're putting together to kind of go over some of the high points of the survey, it's great because it's not just data. It's also we have four. We may have actually four panelists from companies like Discover and SAP,
okay,
and I know there's another company that's represented, but at the executive level,
yeah,
to really talk about their insights and expertise as they integrated social into what they do at their companies from a customer service and a customer experience perspective. So we have the data, but we also have the color. We have the insights and the experiences from these high-level executives from these companies that a lot of people know. So that's – I can't wait for that. I really cannot wait
yeah,
for that. And then the last event, I think that's the one – is that the one you're involved
yeah,
in?
Yeah, I'm moderating your event.
Okay.
We're going to do a Twitter moderation basically where I'm going to glean questions from the Twitter chat.
Cool.
And present them to Brent, and he'll answer them in real time.
Oh, that could be really scary. We'll try.
We'll try.
But then the last one I'm involved in is one around the value that communities bring to businesses. And, from a sales and marketing and a support perspective to a customer engagement perspective. And once again, I'm moderating and I get a chance to have some really good conversations with folks like John Farrar from Nimble and Rachel. I don't know if I ever get her the last name right. Is it Happy or Hap? But she's from the Community Roundtable.
Happy. Just like you.
Just like me. I'm happy. So we're going to be looking at maybe some of the ways that community has changed from a couple of years ago to now, and the role that community plays in things like sales and service and support and, of course, customer engagement. So, and then I'll probably be sweeping up at the end of the final ceremonies, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's great.
So I think that covers my role.
I know. You've got a very big role in this. So Robin, what is going to make this a success for you? When all is said and done, what is going to say this was a success?
Oh, well, it's that we'll see so much activity. I can listen to so many people who will say that it was success for them.
Yes.
And then I'll know that we've done our job right.
That's great. So what made you take the leap and just try this? And, I mean, this is the first conference that you guys have put on, correct?
Yes, and many has been the time when I've wondered if this was the right thing. But it was really, Desiree, that the time had come.
Right.
We Social Media Today have grown to a point where, one, we could do something like this, albeit with just an enormous amount of focus and concentration. I mean, nobody on my team has taken vacation this past summer.
Oh my!
So it was both that we had reached our sort of, we'd grown up enough to be able to handle the responsibility, and we have a number of clients who've been with us for years. SAP, which is one of the clients Brent mentioned,
right.
Siemens. We have a lot of work that we do with Oracle, and they were an early client of ours. We have, a lot of work that we just initiated with MasterCard. I mean, with a broad variety of clients over the last few years, and we really wanted them to have a place to talk about what they're doing. I mean, separate from us, but still, we wanted to give back to our own customers. And we have a number of initiatives like research, which Brent mentioned, but we needed a place for the lessons that our own customers had learned to sort of commingle with other leading social media practitioners. And that motivated us as well. It was about time. We'd grown up and we had enough to say that, and I think a distinct point of view. Which we talked about earlier, this notion that social is about more than marketing. And it was time to bring together enough other people who agreed with that to share best practices and to talk about the future.
Right. And just looking at the agenda and the speaker list, it's extremely impressive. I mean, you know, we've got some really very interesting points of view, like you said, and they vary so much. But these are names of people who are both local and non-local, you know, who are heading up the schedule, which is very exciting. So, lots of different players in this conference. And I think that another one of our folks from the conference, another speaker, actually Brent's better half, should I say, for the panel on the
millennials. That's a different perspective.
I know, but...
Kwanzaa
might give me votes in Disney.
Exactly. So Kwanzaa Hall just joined us, and he walks in, everybody, and all of a sudden he pulls out his iPhone and takes my picture in the middle of the broadcast, and then he turns around and takes Brent's picture.
Someone has to do it.
And then I had to get his picture.
Yeah, and then Brent takes it. Like, really?
You need to give it so I can get the guys, too, that are...
Exactly.
I got them already.
So social media oriented. When you walk into a room and you start taking pictures, you know, somebody's serious about social media. So Kwanzaa Hall,
yes.
Welcome to our show, City Council Atlanta.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, very excited. You and I have crossed paths online. It's one of those things where we know each other online, but we've never really met in person. So
right.
I'm very excited to have you here. We were talking to Brent and Robin about the conference and talking to Brent about, especially about your panel about millennials. Tell us your take on that.
Well, I mean, you know, they're definitely the future, and it's a very important conversation for us in all walks of life, whether you're in government, in the private sector, in philanthropy, for sure,
right.
social movements. This is the future of our world, and we need to be able to embrace and understand and communicate with them very well. I want to be a millennial, but I'm not quite.
Yeah.
Even when I shave my head and you know, I try to put on my hipster clothes, it doesn't quite work. At least they appreciate the attempt.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's important, and I recognize it as a council member, but just as a citizen as well.
So tell us how you're using social media right now, you know, communicating especially with the city of Atlanta.
Well, you know, we started a long time ago tweeting, using Facebook, Instagram.
You were one of the first.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. I love it. You know, any vehicle, I had a MySpace page back in the day, but, you know, let's more so Twitter, Facebook, Foursquare.
Right.
There are a lot of great restaurants and shops and lounges and points of interest in Council District 2. And Council District 2 is downtown, Midtown, Atlantic Station, Georgia Tech, Georgia State, Old Fourth Ward, Castleberry Hill, Emmett Park, Ponce Highland, the first leg of the Beltline, the East Side Trail, the streetcar.
I didn't realize it was that big.
A lot going on. We have 9 MARTA stations in the district. So, you know, and you know, 1 million workers come into downtown every day. So there are a lot of people that I interact with on a variety of capacities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being accessible
makes
it just, if people just called me, I mean, I wouldn't be able to respond to them as quickly. We're not sitting at the desk. We're out in the community. So social media empowers not just my office, but also our citizens and visitors to the city who might just have come into downtown and they sent a tweet, hey, what's wrong with Peachtree Street? And we see that and we're able to respond to them and say, hey, here's what's going on. We got a streetcar coming, you know. And so it opens us up to the entire world. And even when I'm traveling, I try to find my district in other cities. So I find the equivalent of downtown, midtown, Old Fourth Ward, where the restaurants are, where the artists hang out, where the hipsters are, where do the bartenders go to eat. You find those places. Where do the creatives hang out? So social media has been a powerful tool in representing constituencies in getting information out, in, you know, communicating in cases of emergency during the I saw a woman on the side of the road and tweeted for 911 during the tornado period. We used it, you know, and I think still the government as a body needs to embrace technology, in particular social media, even more.
Right.
But there are council offices and elected officials, the mayor included, council president, who are all beginning to use social media in a way that I think other elected officials haven't until just now.
Well, I think there's a lot of fear around it. You know, they don't want to maybe get bombarded by negative things. But to me, it shows that you care because you are connected to the community through social media. And you're not afraid. You're there. You're present. Actually read a statistic today that CEOs who use social media are 10% more likely to be seen as, you know, friendly and outgoing and accepted. So I think it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. I mean, the words you said was present, but also truth and authenticity.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you have to be yourself, no matter who that is.
Right.
And people can understand this is you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like to talk about these things, it's fine. Now, some folks will get mad and they try to figure out why you're, as a council member, are tweeting certain things. Well, this is what I do. I mean, it's not the government Twitter. It's Kwanzaa Hall's
Twitter.
It's
Kwanzaa Hall, right. You know,
you
are your brand.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, we have a different Twitter for the office, the District 2 ATL for my pure governmental stuff, non-political. But I can say anything I want to under my own Twitter handle, I hope. I mean,
well, I was going to say, so that brings up the subject of private, you know, versus public. And Brent, I'm going to kind of throw this at you. You know, should companies have their employees have their own brand within a company and then a public, more general view? Yeah, that is always a debate, right?
It's always a debate. And it's really, you know, you can't give it a one answer for all. One answer doesn't fit all.
Right.
Some companies have certain cultures. They have specific kind of customers. And so they really have to play to what their customers are asking them for.
Right.
So if their customers are asking them to, you know, more access on social,
yeah,
and they're comfortable with it,
mm-hmm,
then they're going to have to figure out a way to bring it to them.
Right.
You know, a lot of companies don't have those kind of customers either. So,
that's right.
You know, they want to communicate with the way they've communicated over the last, you know, several years.
Right. But with millennials coming up, you
that's
know,
a completely different ballgame.
Right. Coming up in the company or taking over some of the, you know, the jobs.
Or even trying to get them to join the company.
Right.
You know, because a lot
good
of these
point
guys are saying, you know, they're interviewing the company just as much as the company is interviewing them. And a lot of them are saying, you know, what mobile device am I able to use? Am I able to use
right
my own? Do I have to use email?
Right.
I don't communicate that way.
Yeah.
So they're really looking for companies that are going to let them work the way that they need to work, to let them build their personal brand.
Right.
I don't use the term brand a lot, but
right
they do. And so it's important for companies to understand they're dealing with a completely different animal. And if they want to get not only the best and brightest, but get the best out of the best and brightest,
mm-hmm,
they're really going to have to figure out how do they change their culture to fit these millennials.
Right, exactly. You know, and I think using the latest technologies to actually build the relationships with the millennials is going to be extremely important, especially in the future. I mean, it's happening right now, right, Kwanzaa?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I think that it really, you know, it's going to be, I think, one of the most primary forms of communication.
Absolutely. I mean, and as soon as we have a little bit more power,
right,
in the next generation apps, I mean, now you're seeing Instagram, you can do video,
right,
and Twitter, you can do, you know, that next level, once it applies to things you need to do in your life. Now, that's play stuff.
Right.
But once you can use these tools to do, you know, more of your personal business,
right,
that's going to be a powerful shift. It's going to be a disruptor to the way people have been doing things. The apps already are getting us there.
Right.
But once you link an app to social media,
I know,
it opens up. I mean, just think about, you know, Delta Airlines right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're improving. They've gotten a whole lot better with Delta Assist. They weren't as good as they could have been a few years ago,
right,
even just a year ago.
Right.
But now they're tweeting. They're responsive.
Mm-hmm.
The app is even better. Now, if they can figure out how to put the two together,
right,
you know, and respond to us,
yes,
and then solve our problems, and then we know, you know, what seat is available.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell me, you tweet it back to me, these three seats are available.
Right.
Pick one now, and you click on the button and you can pick it. Game changer.
Yeah, right. It's already getting there. It's getting very close. The mobile app, because I fly a lot, and Delta is who I fly with.
Mm-hmm.
That app has come so far. I actually really
terrible
depend on that.
Yeah.
I really depend on that app because,
right,
you know, if something were to happen, you know, if I get some kind of you know, there's a flight delay, I
mm-hmm
can go there and try to start doing some things with
right
it.
Changing
before,
things
or looking for information,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, being able to check in and not have to print something.
Mm-hmm.
All those things are not just making my flying experience easier. That makes my life easier in general.
Right.
And so when companies begin to leverage these tools, and not just to say, hey, we've got a, you know, app, or hey, we, you know, come and like us.
Right.
Why? Why should I like you? Just because you said so? Give me something that will make me say I like you and do I like you and shout it to all the folks I know. If you take it from that approach, that's when social becomes a business and not just a one-off channel that says, hey, everybody else is doing it, we're doing it too.
Right, exactly. My biggest fear is when I go to the airport that my phone isn't charged. And then I'm
and then you die. That happened to me. It happened to me.
What do you do? You got, you know, TSA staring you in the face going, where's your ticket?
You know, you know? I had to go back and print.
Oh, no.
Yeah, those kiosks still
come in. It was a terrible billing, yeah.
Yeah, you still have to have a backup,
right? So we need
right
some other strategy. How do you get that extra backup?
Yeah, double batteries.
Double batteries.
Yeah, look at Brent's holding his
what
iPhone.
What kind of iPhone battery you
oh,
have?
Here
I'm using the Mophie. What do you
oh,
use?
Dear, here
oh,
we go.
That's a good one. That's what, 2.5 times? So we're getting too geeky.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Pull back. We'll pull back.
No, this is important. This matters to the next generation, y'all.
Danger, Will Robinson.
What a riot. All right, I'm going to rope it back in. So, Robin, are we also talking about content? Because I think that people miss the boat with content at the conferences, and nobody addresses the importance of content. Do you want to talk to that? Do we still have Robin with us? Uh-oh.
Well, I'll fill in
Robert,
for
Rob. Or Brent is going to fill
no,
in
I'm
for
I'm still here.
Okay.
I pushed the mute button.
Oh, no. Were that bad, Robin?
I was on, and, you know, and you guys couldn't hear me. But anyway.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. Content is the thing that I hear most from heads of social and marketing executives. We don't have enough content. We don't have enough content. But what's an even more interesting complaint from companies that I've heard more recently, and the ones who've been at social longer than some of the other, you know, some of the other industries or the companies, is that now they're starting to get the content engine flowing, either because they've got these fabulous programs to reward their own employees to write about them or to create content about them, or because they've got a good system for capturing customer stories. Mm-hmm. Or because they have, you know, a phenomenal communications firm that's helping them, or because they've hired brand journalists. I mean, either one of those four scenarios. But one of the things that I now hear from the more advanced companies is it's not just a question of content, it's getting the content shared. Mm-hmm. And that's a fundamental shift in understanding about how you engage in social as a marketer, because you know, obviously, we're moving from the point at which you went to Don Draper's ad agency, mm-hmm. had Don come up with some fabulous story, create a 60, 30-second commercial, then take that out, and it's broadcast, and that's the end of the story. We've come way beyond that. There's an understanding that with social, it's content, content, content. But I think what we still have to figure out is the engagement strategy, how you create not only great content, but then find through a variety of ways to get people to engage. And not that you've asked me yet this question, Desiree, but I think
it's okay.
There are
this
two
is
ways,
open conversation.
There are two ways to start to think about that. Yeah. At any rate, I don't know that these are complete solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But one is, what is the, you know, put yourself into the position of your customers or any group you're trying to have interact with your content, what's in it for them? And why are they going to get excited about it? And you probably know better than I do that people tend to get excited as much about a higher purpose as they do about financial incentives. And so that's a critical part of how you take content into the world and make it grow beyond, you know, what your PR firm just gave you. And then the other thing that is really important is to identify your influencers and not just do it on the first go-round. I mean, it's easy enough, and one of the reasons that Brent and I have been working together so long is that our company identified him very early as a key influencer for enterprise technology. And so, you know, we've found a variety of ways to work with Brent. But not just your sort of primary influencers, but who beyond the first string of people who are influential in some, you know, fashion, in some niche, in some part of the world, who are the people who are going to want to talk about your content further out? And, I mean, that's what's most so exciting about this stuff, is that it's so much more complex than it ever was. And yet, to do it well, you really have to have a story that means something to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of thrilling. You know, it's thrilling to sit down for us to sit down with a customer and say, okay, you know, Mr. Major Brand, your goal is to increase awareness on Twitter, or your goal is to have more people to show, to move the needle on sentiment analysis for this particular search term. That's great. But what does that mean in terms of the purpose that your audience wants to rally around? And that's the fun part. That's the part that's very hard to, certainly it's impossible to automate, but it's also very hard to just, you know, that you can't just pick that out of data. It really has to come from a deeper understanding of what people get excited about.
So, you know, we've been talking
a
lot. It does. You know, I'm hearing a lot of conversation.
Sponsor would know this better than anybody because he's a politician.
Not hear me.
You know, how do you get people to be excited about what you're trying to achieve in government? And, you know, you're never going to pay people well enough. And it's not like they're going to go to the polls in this country because they're being paid to. You know, what's going to motivate them? And that, I think in a way, marketing and politics have always been very closely aligned, but I think we're moving even more in that direction.
Yes, absolutely. You know, first we have to, we kind of think about what people want themselves in a general customer experience and then apply that back to the office that I represent, District 2. And we intentionally said, you know, what are the best experiences we get when we go to restaurants, we go to hospitals, wherever we go, and how can we deliver that to our constituents, whether it be via phone, via email, via, you know, meeting experience, and then allow that to engage, be the first point of entry, because typically that's what turns people off on government. It's bureaucracy, it's that bad experience. It's far worse than the worst business experience you get, you know, and I feel kind of good when I'm sitting around and I can recognize poor customer service in a company, and I'm like, wow, we do it better than they do, you know,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to lose customers,
yeah.
You know, and be out of business. So I think, you know, that's one of the kind of tenets of our philosophy. But in addition, I would say to get people excited, you've got to come at them, first meet them where they are. You know, I know that's kind of cliche, but you do have to meet people where they are. And then you have to talk in terms that are relevant, things that matter, that are of value to them, not what you want, but what they are interested in, and then create a shared vision and a dialogue around that. And take your time. It's not always a rush. You can't get everyone to buy in. And from a government standpoint, there's very little trust out here in the public. So we have to first break down the walls. And, you know, as a council member, if I have a suit on and they meet me and they're a barista in a coffee shop, they're going to say, okay, what's this guy on? So then I come back on my bike and ride in. They don't quite recognize me. And then I'm just kind of talking. And it's like, oh, I think I know you. And then it kind of connects. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, what do you need me to do for you? Well, my biggest issue is, you know, the sidewalks or safety or whatever. And then we have a real conversation. Or even sometimes I meet them where they are without being in the suit at all. And then the conversation starts. And then later I'm saying, well, you know, I could help you solve that. I'm a council member.
Gosh, you bring up so many great questions. Now
sure,
I'm like,
shoot.
Okay, so how do you decide like which social media platform to use? And is there a different audience for you for each one?
Okay, good question. Okay, so I started on Facebook, I guess. It took off faster, you know, for a certain demographic, kind of my high school friends and a lot of folks in that genre, and other people. So I ran out of space, and now I'm trying to convert over to my fan page. I'm out of space on my regular page, and I feel bad because there's probably a double, if not triple, the number of people who should be in that network, and they get mad at me because I'm not engaging with them, and they love Facebook.
Right.
Then you've got a whole other group who likes just the quickness, the wittiness of Twitter, and they're in a different space. There's some overlap with kind of the folks who have more experience, but the ones who like Twitter don't like Facebook sometimes, and those who like Facebook don't like Twitter.
Yeah.
I've tried some of the other social networks. Some have been in business. Some have gone out of business, like Posturus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Instagram is really hot for the young, especially kind of folks who are, I won't say vain, but the music industry, entertainers,
the
you know,
the selfies,
the shoe wearers, the
my
foodies,
daughter.
You know, that's a certain style, you know, Instagram. And then, you know, so I use that. And then there's, you know, of course, Foursquare for, you know, restaurants, lounges, cool places. I always like to do very far places. Like I'm catching a plane tonight and I'll be in another country. So I love to just check in somewhere I'm not supposed to be. And then people are wondering, because you have these voyeurs or, I guess, social media stalkers who are following you, and they want to show up at that restaurant and say, hey, I heard you were here. I came by.
Right.
So sometimes to throw them off, I'm going to be here, and then I'm somewhere else. Like, why didn't you tell us, Kwanzaa, you were going to blah, blah, blah? You said you were going to be at the whatever.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, so, you know, I try to mix it up
and
meet different people where they are.
Okay, gotcha. All right, Brent, so we're talking a lot B2C, but you know the hot conversation is B2B. And how do businesses truly use social media to sell other companies to use their services, use their product? Let's talk about that.
The way they should or the way they are?
Well, let's talk about the way they are and how they should.
Well, the way they are is still, I call it the lamp LAMP is an acronym for Look at Me Marketing and Promotion.
Right.
They're just throwing the LAMP out at everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the greatest. We can do it like this. We can do it better than anybody else. And who wants to hear about somebody who's always talking about me?
Right.
I don't care if it's an individual or if it's a company. It's actually just even worse if it's a company, because then you can just rail against them. Mm-hmm. The companies that get it, that are really doing it right, are looking at how can they leverage social and mobile and cloud to create better experiences for their customers. That's what, when Kwanda said, he focused on it, word experience.
Right.
I'd go so far as to say, and I hope I don't make Miss Carrie mad, but content is not king.
Ah.
Context is not king.
Right.
Experience is king.
Experience.
If you can create better experiences, mm-hmm. and those better experiences usually come out of having the right context, so mm-hmm. you understand what these people are faced with, what their challenges are. So if you understand it and get the proper context, then leverage whatever form of content it is. It could be a blog post, but it actually could be something, you know, hardcore with utility.
Right.
Then you're able to create the experiences that's going to connect you to them.
Right.
Instead of look at me, it's look at how I can help you. And a lot of companies are still in that look at me phase. They haven't transitioned into, okay, how can we really use this to create better experiences and stay connected and understand what the challenge of the day is for our customers and prospects? Because the challenge of the day for Tuesday may not be the challenge for them Wednesday.
Yeah.
So how do you stay connected with them and understand their context as it changes and create the kind of experiences from whatever content you need that will keep you with them over the period of time? And so companies, a lot of companies haven't gotten it. The new companies, they're starting out with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting with this customer-centric business model.
Right.
And a lot of them are doing these instead of product-based or transactional-based companies. They are more of the, what I call, well, it's not me, but the subscription.
Right.
Companies like Zuora have come up with this area called the subscription economy. And we all know about this. Netflix is a perfect example mm-hmm. of this. And it's funny because Netflix almost killed their business a couple of years ago
yeah.
when they changed their business and pricing model. But they were able to recuperate because they really focused in on what was important to customers. So getting them the content they wanted, giving it to them and the devices they wanted,
mm-hmm.
speeding up the delivery. So they were optimizing their servers so that, and they would every night, I think it's like between 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., they would actually analyze at the local level all these 10,000 servers they have. They would analyze what was the most popular content, and then they would optimize it so that it would be the fastest to go down.
Right.
So they knew people want speed. They knew they want good stuff. And they kept continually adding value to their service. So what does that do? That extends the relationship they have with the customers, because customers will still subscribe over and over again. And then the word of mouth of that would go to getting new customers.
Right.
So that's what this is really the power of this is about, providing the right kind of experiences, providing the right kind of value, and doing it repetitively over and over over time.
Mm-hmm.
Companies, some have it. Majority of them don't yet.
What surprises me, though, is the amount of companies that don't know who their customer truly is. And what's shocking about that is you can use Twitter and all the data that you're talking about, the social index, to know that information. And you know exactly where the arrow needs to go hit the target.
But, you know, a lot of companies are – you ever watch that show NCIS?
Yeah.
Leroy Jeff
right.
Gibbs. He's the man, right?
mm-hmm.
So he has all this technology, has these
right.
these great smart people. They run their analysis and they'll come back and say, well, boss, it's like this. We think, you know, based on what it's, and he'll say, you know what? My gut is telling me something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now that's a TV show. So right. it'll work for him.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But it will not work in the real world when the data is telling you one thing and your gut is telling you something else.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Jethro Gibbses out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough. Well,
Robin liked that.
I think she likes Mark Harmon.
So, yeah, I think so.
So she would like to have a lot of Gibbs out there. But there are a lot of those kind of people out there, as opposed to the hippos. And that's a term that Andrew McAfee from Harvard came up with, and that's an acronym for a highest paid person in the organization. And the highest paid person in the organization is typically the guy who makes the final call.
Yeah.
What does he make the final call on?
His gut.
His gut.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hippos running around. There are not enough data geeks running around. And the perfect example of a data geek is Jeff Bezos.
Right.
Everything they do is based on thorough data analysis, looking for insights, looking for ways to find the use the insights to create the right experiences, and then repeating that over and over and over again.
Right.
And because he's able to do that, I'm a guy, and I'm writing a book on this, so that's why I'm kind of into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been buying stuff from Amazon.com for the past 16 years. I have never spoke to any one person in Amazon.
Wow.
So it's not, hey, I'm not looking for a hey, hi,
right,
smile. I'm looking for you to present me with no friction between what I want, what I can get, and I can get it the next day because they have the two-day shipping.
Right, exactly.
So that's what it's really about.
Yeah.
And a lot of companies, they just haven't got to that point yet.
So this is going to be an interesting question for you because you know where I'm going to come from with this.
And,
yeah. Is email a form of social media?
It is now.
Yep, I agree. Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah. It's in the mix,
you know,
yeah.
That's so funny because I went to an E2 Enterprise 2.0 conference 4 or 5 years ago, and one of my great IBM buddies, you must know Luis Suarez. Brent, you've probably seen him.
I've heard that name.
Knocking around. Mm-hmm. And Luis is off the wall, but brilliant. He was very involved with, I think, IBM's very successful initial embrace of social. You were talking about B2B. Earlier, Desiree, and
yes.
I think IBM totally cracked the code early on B2B marketing by liberating their very, very smart people to blog.
Yeah.
And IBM had one of the first blogging policy forms, blogging policy statements, and it was very simple. You know, it was about a page long, and it said, just don't do anything stupid. But they've very early embraced blogging and putting their own brilliant subject matter experts out into a social sphere. But anyway, Luis at Enterprise 2.0 4 or 5 years ago said, email, it's over. It's gone.
I know.
We'll never use it again. And, I mean, Luis isn't the only person who's
said that. You know who else said that?
People have been saying this. You know, they've been saying it's the end of SEO.
CFO.
And what's interesting is that that's not true.
Right.
Is that certainly some things have gone by the wayside in the last 4 or 5 years or 6 or 7 years, but email is even more important because it's in a way, it's a filtering device. And I think it's also true for SEO. SEO is still critically important, but one of the reasons it is that Google just keeps getting smarter and smarter about it. And I think Google has done more for quality, whatever it is that we're in right now. I mean, whatever this stuff is it journalism? Is it marketing? Is it something else entirely? But Google has continually pushed us through its SEO to better quality results. And good for them, because social's great, but we need filtering.
Right.
We need it desperately.
Right. Kwanza, do you guys have email campaigns that you use to communicate?
I'll tell you honestly.
Okay.
My chief of staff is a PhD, Dr. Mm-hmm. Jay Tribby, and he was adamantly against emails.
Okay.
So I couldn't do all the blasts. So when I needed to do blasts, I was like, how do I do it? We've been doing everything without email blasts.
Wow.
And I think he was right in some ways, because you can just be sending stuff out but not really communicating, not really creating that relationship, dialogue, experience. And folks will receive it, but they won't really engage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think quality email that opens people up to your entire network, because sometimes folks don't know you're on Foursquare.
Yeah.
So once they find out that's where you are,
right,
through your email.
Yes.
So the email is kind of the gateway to open folks up to everything else. And
right.
if you can get it in there, and the first one is effective, it's all about effectiveness. If
right.
you have a high effectiveness rate, like MailChimp, they've been improving and really turning it on, and I think they're going in that direction of the next generation provider that truly looks at far more metrics than we used to look at before.
Yeah.
They're innovating.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. You know, the thing is that we have not addressed yet, and I think is the most important, I've always said that if somebody could figure out a way to truly measure measure our activity on social media and really tell us if our time is delivering on our investment. You know, what kind of return on investment are we getting for our time? Because it's not so much money. These are free channels. Maybe it's out there, but I don't think anyone has cornered that yet. Robin, what do you think? Measurement of social media.
I think you've got some great solutions that are just emerging. One of whom we're announcing is now a partner for Social Media Today. But there are great ways to measure, and they're not perfect. They have to get closer and closer to actual conversions. Mm-hmm. But we're announcing a partnership at Social Shakeup with a company that developed a way to pool all your influencers into a single dashboard and can translate from what your influencers are doing on social what the total impact of your content marketing plan is in terms of impressions, right?
Wow.
Impressions aren't perfect, but they're not bad. And
right.
Impressions are something that you can, as the head of marketing, go into the CFO's office and say, you know, an impression is worth X, and this is what we're delivering for Y, and look at the difference between those two prices. So, you know, you can do it, mm-hmm. particularly if you have some good tools. Particularly if you're looking at the overall social graph. And I believe firmly, particularly if you have an influencer-based strategy, because then you can get much more tactical going forward.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I don't know who you're announcing, and I'm optimistic that I can meet these folks and get connected with them. I love to measure things. I started with two different groups. Clout has been one, and it's not exactly – you know, perfect, but it does give you something. The other actually is Empire Avenue,
yes.
which is more of a game.
You're
that's
right.
more, I like it because they have continued yeah. to improve.
Right.
I'm traded on this stock market.
Right.
The more of my pieces of social media that I add, I've been on it, I mean, maybe 3 or 4 years since
yeah.
they started.
Yeah.
And, you know, my stock is going up and down. It's riding high right now. I mean, relative to what it used to be, I'm at $87 or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time you add a new form of social media, but mm-hmm. it's not just having it.
Right.
It's how that engagement occurs and the different ways that you engage with people. I mean,
right.
it's pretty interesting in what's being measured, and I think we just need to figure a way to apply it. And I guess there are some businesses that are on there,
mm-hmm.
And they use it to measure their success rate. But when you're a small company and you're trying to do B2B, how do you measure that effectiveness? Because you might not have any followers.
Right.
But your client, if you get that big Delta app, Delta as a client, or you get IBM as a client, it's game changer, but no one really knows.
Right.
You know, so how do you measure that level of interactivity? Is it with the most influential people in your market space
mm-hmm.
and having them in your network? Is that the power of it, or is that the value of your stock or something? You know.
Well, Brent, can you answer that?
Well, I think what happens, and it's not just in one instance, but it's in a lot of instances, companies and even individuals, we're all looking for the, I call it the Hail Mary, the silver bullet. And so, you know, cloud can kind of be cool, but not if you use just cloud. Mm-hmm. And not if you just, you know, I'm only going to talk to people with a cloud score of whatever.
Right.
And there are a lot of instances of companies actually doing that.
Yeah.
You can't even get an interview with some companies if you don't have a cloud score of a certain level.
Yes.
And that's ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, some of the most influential people are not always on Facebook and Twitter. So how do you, you know, make sure that you don't lose real physical, you know, influence that you can actually see
yeah.
as opposed to folks who are actually gaming clout, trying to figure out what do I need to do so I can get to whatever score.
Right.
And so, you know, I that's why I'm a little bit skeptical on certain things. But there are companies that are looking at, you know, maybe using sort of like a number of these different kind of scores. And then they're also looking at, you know, how do we make sure that we not only account for financial, metrics, you know, like lifetime value of the customer, which is the absolute, still the absolute best.
Right.
But how do you measure people that are influential on people who buy, but they don't buy themselves?
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely have to figure out a, I call it lifetime influence of a customer kind of metric.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an activity, you know, how do their activities impact actual sales? Like they're answering questions in the community forums.
Right.
And how does that help give people who will buy enough information, and how do we credit those folks? So you have actual buyers, you have influencers, you have people that are maybe not influential in the bigger sense, but they're maybe they're brand advocates.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to figure out how do we marry social activity to traditional metrics, and how new metrics that we create, how they impact traditional financial metrics. We're still trying to sort all that out.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Now, there are companies, and I go back to the subscription companies, because they use a metric called, well, there's either ARR, which is annual recurring revenue,
mm-hmm.
or monthly recurring revenue.
Right.
So folks like a Netflix, you sign up for a $7.99 a month subscription. How many of those people are there?
Right.
Oh, then if we take that out every month, we know we're going to get X amount of revenue. So that's forward looking, as opposed to, you know, traditional financial statements that are looking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to start using these kind of new tools and strategies and begin to create these kind of business models that allow you to have a pretty firm understanding of what we expect this month, what we expect next month, what do we expect over the next 6 months, then you start to be able to marry these metrics to what are the activities that are driving new signups or customer retention.
Absolutely. Yeah, great point. All right, everybody. So we're close to closing out the show. I want to give you guys all a chance to let people know where to find you. Kwanzaa, how do people find you?
Oh.
When you're not gaming Foursquare and trying to fool people.
At Kwanzaa Hall, KwanzaaHall on Twitter. It's Kwanzaa Hall on LinkedIn,
yep.
Facebook, same on Instagram, and Foursquare. All the same. You just have to know how to spell my name. Kwanzaa
what?
Hall, KwanzaaHall.
No Vine?
Oh, and I'm on Vine. I gonna add more. I've got others I can just kind of pull out, but I was trying
Google
to
Google him.
You know, what else do y'all? What do you want?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the question. Which ones are missing?
And we will add all of that to
YouTube,
the show
of
notes.
Course. Yeah.
And you can also
put
definitely
that on a long list.
Will and with your cloud score, I will
and
put your cloud score.
My cloud. Empire Avenue. Give them a little. You know, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know.
All right, Brent. What about you?
I just say Google Brent Leary. I think I've got
only
the
one and only.
You know, thank God for most people, right? But that's the easiest way to find me. I'm all Brent Leary, Facebook and Twitter, and
yep.
BrentLeary.com. So.
And put Brent Leary with CRM, and you'll definitely find Brent. Robin, how about you?
I'm at Robin Carey on Twitter, and I'm also pretty unique, although I think there's a dollhouse maker that also
Carey, I was going to say, any relation to Harry Carey?
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool.
Chicago?
Carey, just like the limo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great, and I know that the audience can find all of us this weekend and next week at the Social Shakeup, and just go to socialmediatoday.com or Google Social Shakeup Atlanta, and you will find all of us. And I hope to see everybody at our workshops, and you know,
absolutely,
be great.
One other thing,
yeah,
I'm actually taking a group of people to the Falcons Rams game.
Ooh!
So that's when the festivities start for me on Sunday.
Excellent.
I know. I'm a Rams fan, so I typically say Rams Falcons game, but I cleaned it up for the Atlanta audience. So
I'll be working on Sunday. I've got my workshop Sunday, so Robin has put me to work. But that's good. We're excited about that. So thank you, Robin and Brent and Kwanzaa, who has already posted our pictures on Twitter while we were taping the show.
Well, you just mentioned Vine, so I think he just did a Vine.
He just
video.
Did a Vine. Oh, gosh.
Thanks a lot, Desiree.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much. And this is Desiree Scales with the High Velocity Show. Have a great week.
Thank you.